I'm John Hamilton, and this is the Word of the Week. This weekly equipping series is taught live. I hope you're blessed today.
Well, I want to read a passage of Scripture from 2 Chronicles, if I may. 2 Chronicles, beginning at the first chapter, we're going to read just the first 12 verses here. Solomon, the son of David, established himself firmly over his kingdom, for the Lord his God was with him and made him exceedingly great. Then Solomon spoke to all of Israel, to the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, to the judges and all the leaders of Israel, the heads of families. And Solomon and the whole assembly went to the high place at Gibeon, for God's tent of meeting was there, which Moses, the Lord's servant, had made in the desert. Now David had brought up the tent of God from Kiriath-Jearim to the place that he had prepared for it, because he had pitched a tent for it in Jerusalem. But the bronze altar that Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made was in Gibeon, in front of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Solomon and the assembly acquired of him there. Solomon went up to the bronze altar before the Lord in the tent of meeting and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. And that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." And Solomon answered God, "You have sown great kindness to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may be able to lead these people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" And God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you've not asked for wealth, riches, or honor, nor the death of your enemies, and since you haven't asked for long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I've made you king, therefore, wisdom and knowledge shall be given to you. And also, I will give you wealth, riches, and honor, such as no king who is before you has had, or none after you will ever have." I heard a funny story about an angel who appeared one day in the board meeting. A pastor and the deacons were meeting, and suddenly an angel appeared right in the middle of the pastor's study in this board meeting. And the angel turned to the pastor and said, "Because you have been such an unselfish, caring leader with such a godly heart, the Lord is going to reward you with your choice of the following. You can have infinite beauty, you can have infinite wealth, or you can have infinite wisdom." Without a hesitation, the pastor responded, "Please give me infinite wisdom." "Done," the angel said. Poof, he disappears in a smoke. And the board suddenly, slowly turns their eyes towards the pastor at the head of the table, and there's a soft halo glowing over the back of his head. And they wait for the words of wisdom to drip from his lips. "Pastor, say something. Say something." "I should have taken the money." A terrible story. Sorry. But you know what? The Bible's really clear. Solomon made the right choice. He did. King Solomon is extolled in Scripture as the man with the greatest wisdom who ever ruled the ancient world. And he really did have more honor. I mean, it was an amazing degree of honor that Solomon had in terms of how he was known in the world. But it's important that we notice that his great wisdom came as a specific supernatural gift from God. He wasn't born with it. It came as a supernatural gift from God. And he was legendary for it. According to 1 Kings 4, I quote, "He spoke about 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He spoke about plant life from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the walls. He also spoke about animals and birds and reptiles and fish. From all nations, people came to hear Solomon's wisdom sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom." Specifically, we know the story of the Queen of Sheba, who the Scripture says traveled it's like the equivalent of 1,500 miles to present Solomon with gifts and ask him hard questions just to find out how wise he really was. And she was shocked by what she heard. She said this is 2 Chronicles 9, "I did not believe what they said until I came and saw it with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half the greatness of your wisdom was told me. You have far exceeded the report I heard." That's pretty impressive, guys. And a lot of people have marveled, wasn't Solomon wonderful to ask for that gift? Wasn't Solomon wonderful to ask for the gift of wisdom? But I want you to understand, it wasn't an accident. Solomon's father had something to do with it. In fact, we read this in Proverbs 4, chapter 3. This is Solomon writing. Solomon testifies himself, and he says this, "When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, 'Lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, she will exalt you. Embrace her, she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor.'" See, Solomon's father David specifically taught him to seek God for wisdom. It was the most important thing to ask for. It was not an accident. It was the destiny that Solomon's father had imparted into his heart. But there's something I want you to see this morning. The first thing is this: the Lord is the source of wisdom. And wisdom should be actively and systematically sought after by the man or woman of God. We're not just called to seek power. We're not just called to seek anointing. We're not just called to seek prosperity or called to seek blessings. We are called to actively, aggressively seek wisdom. And it stands to reason, therefore, that if wisdom is not being systematically and aggressively sought, wisdom will not be obtained. If you don't got a plan to get it, you won't get it. If you don't have a determination to get it, you won't get it. According to David's words to his son. The reason why I'm sharing this with you, 7 years ago, also in a December, I heard a word from the Lord, and I spoke it to the church then. This Thursday morning, I heard it again. It is time now and in 2019 to purposefully seek God and ask Him for wisdom. If we do, we will have specific insights we're going to need. The days ahead are calling for more than our natural understanding and accumulated knowledge can accomplish. We need true wisdom. It is time to seek God and ask Him for wisdom. And having said that, let me just say that I infer from what I heard that if we don't seek wisdom, we're going to suffer needless consequences. What is wisdom? Well, if you look it up, if you Google it, get dictionary.com, you'll come up with this. Wisdom is knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action, sagacity, discernment, or insight. I personally like Webster's 1828 definitions. And here's what I really think Webster nailed it. The right use or exercise of knowledge, the choice of laudable ends, and of the best means to accomplish them. This is wisdom in act, effect, or practice. If wisdom is to be considered as a faculty of the mind, it is the faculty of discerning or judging what is the most just, proper, and useful. And if it is to be considered as an acquirement, it is the knowledge and use of what is best, or most just, or most proper, or most conducive to prosperity and happiness. That's a pretty good definition. Wisdom is not simply an attribute of humanity. It is not like good looks. It is not like smarts. It is not like charm. In Scripture, we see wisdom as a spiritual force and ability given to men by God for prudent words and actions. It's not your natural stuff. You're not born with it. Actually, Proverbs reveals wisdom as a personality. a person. I want you to hear Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8 here, wisdom speaks in first person. According to the text, this is actually wisdom speaking. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before the deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place or the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there. When he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. Listen then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instructions and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. Whoever finds me finds life and receives the favor of the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself, and all who hate me love death. According to the scripture, this thing, this personality called wisdom, was created by God before the first angel, long before the earth. This is one of those kind of weird mysteries, isn't it? But the scripture is pretty clear. This is not an isolated instance. We see wisdom revealed not as information. No, wisdom is a mystical and powerful voice who should be sought after and romanced like a lover, courted, invited, encouraged, given a place at the table, given a place of intimacy and relationship. Wisdom is a gift from God, and it is the first of his creations. It can be sought. Wisdom can be cultivated. A relationship can be built. You know, Jesus spoke of wisdom as a person too. He said, wisdom is proved right by her children. That's Luke 7:35. It is biblical to view wisdom as a distinct personality with a distinct voice. We don't talk about that much, do we? It's also important for us to recognize what wisdom is not. Wisdom is not intelligence. Wisdom isn't your smarts. Wisdom is not your natural ability. It is a spiritual gift. In fact, it is a spiritual gift that predates the New Testament charismata. We talk about the spiritual gifts. Paul talks about in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, spiritual gifts, the charismata, as they're called, the grace gifts. Wisdom is a spiritual gift that predates the New Testament charismata. You know, moments of wisdom are gifts of the Spirit. Romans 12:8 says, For by the Spirit is given the word of wisdom, the logos sophia in the Greek, in the moment where we're tapping into and channeling wisdom. And it's a great spiritual gift. It's a very important spiritual gift. Those moments when there needs to be an answer and suddenly the word is found and you're like, where did that come from? I mean, those words of wisdom are incredible spiritual gifts. But really, wisdom is a gift, a spiritual gift given to humans who seek even before the New Testament era. Even before the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. Wisdom's benefits are absolutely countless. Proverbs 3:13 says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gets understanding. Proverbs 24 says, my son, eat honey, for it's good, and the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Wisdom enables you to find a way to a hope-filled future. Do yourself a favor. Get it. Proverbs 19:8 says, he who gets wisdom loves himself. Isn't that interesting? Proverbs 8, we just see this dynamic picture. If I get some time, I'll read more of the passage at the end of this. Wisdom is speaking to us, and she says, "Now, my sons, listen to me. Happy are those who keep my ways. Happy is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my door. He who finds me finds life and obtains the favor of the Lord." You want happiness? Don't seek happiness. Seek wisdom. It's a byproduct of happiness. Happiness is a byproduct of wisdom. Wisdom will cause you to overcome temptations. Proverbs 7:5 says, "Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinsman. They will keep you from the adulteress and the wayward wife with her seductive words." Isn't that interesting? It requires wisdom. It requires something beyond who we are. Wisdom causes us to avoid the traps of the enemy. I just love to see this in the life of Jesus. I mean, so many times they had him boxed in. The Pharisees come to him and they say, "So, Rabbi, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar?" Oh, what a hot button. No way anybody could possibly answer this one. Because if you pay taxes to Caesar, well, then you're supporting this heathen. I mean, you can immediately say, "Yeah, well, you know, I knew he was a Roman sympathizer." And if he says not, well, then he's in trouble with the Romans. I mean, Jesus was just in a box, wasn't he? Nope. Because he, who had been with wisdom in the beginning, simply looked and he said, "Show me a coin. Whose picture is this and whose inscription upon it?" "Caesar." "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And all of a sudden, everybody went, "Oh, we didn't see that one coming." You go, "Yay, Jesus." Okay, that's so much how our master operated. He walked in that supernatural wisdom that it didn't matter. It didn't matter what trap. Every time they set a trap for him, that you and I would have been going, "Oh, no, no getting out of this one." Ah, but not if we are abiding with wisdom. Wisdom gives us answers in impossible situations. I mean, there's a great story of the two prostitutes who came to see King Solomon. And one of them said this, "My Lord, this woman and I sleep in the same house, and we each gave birth to a son last week. And one night while she was asleep, she rolled over on her son and smothered it. So she got up at midnight and took my living son from me while I slept and left me with her dead son. And when I woke in the morning, I looked closely, and I could tell it was not my son." But the other woman said, "No, the living child is mine and the dead child is yours." And they argued before the king. No answer. And the king said, "You both say the living child is yours. I'll settle the matter. Bring me a sword." So a sword was brought to the king, and he said, "Divide the living child in two and give one half to the one woman and one to the other." But the woman whose son was alive yearned for her son and said, "No, no, my lord, give her the child and by no means slay it." And the other said, "Well, it should neither be mine nor yours. Let's divide it." And the king said, "Give the living child to the first woman. She's the mother." See, all of Israel heard that judgment, the scripture says. In fact, it says this, all of Israel heard the judgment which the king had rendered, and they stood in awe of the king because they perceived wisdom of God in him to render justice. You know what? There was no biblical command to tell Solomon what to do in that situation. There was nothing in the law of Moses that would explain to him what he should have done. And yet, his wisdom prevailed. It was impossible. Wisdom is needed in impossible situations because the answers are not easy. And I want to submit to you, the answers in our culture are not easy. The answers of how the body of Christ is supposed to respond in a culture that has absolutely gone crazy. And we're going, well, so do we all run for office? Or do we all just abandon the political process and go in the closet and pray? Or what do we do? I am telling you, we need a supernatural impartation of Holy Ghost provided wisdom that we might be able to function, because without it, we are toast. It wasn't really biblical to say we're toast, but you guys know what I mean. We need it. We need it in this hour. We need it in this church. We need wisdom. We need it in this community. The body of Christ needs now to seek God for a supernatural relationship with this personality called wisdom. And that's why Proverbs 6:16 puts it this way: to get wisdom is better than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. This is a matter of life and death. So how do we get wisdom? First, you need to set your desire upon gaining wisdom. You need to want it. Proverbs 4:8 says, "Prize her highly, and she'll exalt you. She will honor you for your embrace." Wisdom wants to be wanted. When you prize something, you love it and embrace it. You give it a place of honor. So wisdom must, first and foremost, be valuable for us. Proverbs 2 says it this way: "My son, if you accept my words and you store up my commands in you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding." I hope you're getting these verbs here: accept, turning, applying. If you call out for insight, if you cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it like looking for silver, if you search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you will find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He's a shield to those whose walk is blameless. He guards the course of the just. He protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant for your soul. You got to be willing to want it. You got to be willing to turn. You got to be willing to apply. You got to be willing to accept. You've got to be willing to cry aloud for it. You've got to be willing to sell everything in order to buy it. Seek it like silver. Search for it like hidden treasure. That means you're probably going to have to give up something else to obtain wisdom. Let me just tell it like it is. You're probably going to have to make room for it in your life by giving up something else. We're not going to get wisdom by doing the same things everybody else does, by spending our time the same way, by absorbing the, pardon me for going down this road, I really am not into legalism, if we're simply absorbing the entertainment of the world day after day, night after night, instead of seeking God for strength and wisdom, we're not going to be any different. We're not going to have any answers the world doesn't have. We're going to have nothing to offer. We have to have obtained it from the Lord himself. He will give it. He will give it in those moments when you're with him. He will give it in those moments you're in his word. But we have got to do something different. The Bible says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That access point where we begin to have a supernatural relationship with his personality called wisdom is when we fear God. We have a respect and an honor. That's our priority. The second thing we need to do to get wisdom is this: we need to ask in prayer. It needs to be a constant prayer point. Solomon, as I said, wasn't born wise. He prayed for it. And the Lord said, because you've asked for this and not for long life or riches or life of your enemies, I'm going to do according to your word. 1 Kings says it this way: and God gave Solomon wisdom and great insight. The breadth of his understanding was as measureless as the sand on the seashore. That's pretty big. Solomon's wisdom was greater than all the wisdom of the men of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. When we think about this great civilization that night after night after night, they still try to figure out on the History Channel. How did they build those pyramids? Right? Solomon's wisdom was vastly greater. His understanding of all kinds of things was much greater. It's interesting to me that, you know, Solomon wasn't alone in Scripture with this. Paul specifically and regularly prayed that his churches might have a spiritual wisdom. You'll find that in Colossians 1:9. And he also prayed, and I pray, you hear me pray this every week. I pray it all the time, and it comes from Ephesians 1:17, where Paul prayed that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Paul said, look, if you guys don't have a supernatural impartation of wisdom, you're not going to understand this stuff. Your brain can't get it. Your brain isn't agile enough. But if you seek me, you'll get it. I'll tell you, I'll take it one step further. As I can tell in Scripture, I mean, there's very few things God gives to anyone who asks. Anyone, regardless of their worthiness. But wisdom is something he gives and asks nothing in return. There's no strings attached. Listen to this, James 1. If any, how many? Any, lack wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to them. Okay? He's not worthy. He hadn't earned it. I mean, that's my read of that. The King James says, and upbraid not. I mean, he's not going to beat you. God is so pleased with even the rank heathen who bows his knee and says, look, I don't know if I believe all this, but I know what I know. I want to ask you for wisdom. That he'll actually impart wisdom to that person who asks. Now, some of you, I'm messing with you, but if you take literally what he says, that's what he just said. So we have to ask. The third thing we need to do is we have to apply ourselves in faith to receive wisdom. And that means the study of his word, the meditation of his word, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I mean, listen, if you want wisdom and you're not willing to open the book, you don't really want it. Because he's given us incredible wisdom and insights into the world, into the spirit, into him. The scripture says in Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Even the simple-minded reading the word of God and learning it can become wise, can have application. See, getting into God's word isn't just about information. It's about impartation. You know, he is his word. Jesus was the word made flesh. And it gets in you. It changes you. You begin to hear his voice in different ways. You begin to recognize the sound of his voice. You begin to walk with wisdom in a whole different way when you are feeding on his word. Read Proverbs every day. It'll change your life. I know there's probably quite a few of you. How many in this room read a proverb every day? There's a few of us, okay? So that's the amazing thing is, you know, there's one for every day of the month. And so it's easy to know. And if you ever forget, you can go, well, what day of the week is it? What day of the month is it? Oh, it's the 9th. I'm going to read Proverbs 9 this morning. It's a great little discipline. It won't get you into heaven, but you know what it will do? It'll make you wise. It'll make you wiser than you were. It'll make you wiser than you were. I promise you that. You should also devote time, and this is my belief, to reading proven works by great Christians who've been effective. Now, I realize people don't read much anymore, and this is tragic, because a lot of times you can read a man who devoted his whole life to God and changed the world around him in the course of his lifetime by the power of the Holy Spirit and through wisdom, and he's captured his whole life's message in 200 pages. Is it worth reading those 200 pages? Yep, it is. I tend to appreciate the ones that, and this is just a personal preference, but I have the microphone. Rather than the pop culture ones, the latest preacher who's a star on television, that's all wonderful and that's all good. But look at people who've changed life, who have a proven track record, who've changed life through history. So sometimes it's not the most recent book on the shelf. If you need help with this, talk to me. because, in fact, years ago we put together a recommended reading list around here because there's just so many wonderful classics that really, really will help you, help you understand things that are depth, and these things have proven worth from generation to generation to generation. Years and years ago, you know, most of you guys, all right, how many of you have figured out that I'm kind of into history, right? All right, it's an understatement. I wasn't. And some of you guys, kind of funny, most of you guys around here kind of have this idea that I'm a Bible scholar. Okay, I never went to any formal Bible training or education. I didn't go to Bible college. That's not what I did. I fell in love with it. And there's a difference. And I figured it out. I figured out, hey, you know what? I'm going to read this book, and I'm going to read this book, and I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to study this stuff because I like it. Let me tell you why. One day, I was actually reading 2 Chronicles when it talks about the men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what God needed to do for Israel, or knew what needed to be done for Israel. And that struck with me. It said, the men of Issachar understood the times, just that one little sentence, and knew what needed to be done for Israel. They knew what needed to be done then because they understood the times. And it occurred to me, and I believe the Holy Spirit really said this to me, that the only way to understand the times is to understand time. And I thought, if I didn't have a grasp of history and I didn't have a grasp of where the church had been, how would I know where the church needed to go? And it became something significant to me. And so you know what I did? My family will tell you I have books and books and books and books, don't I, on my shelf. And I have all kinds of stuff that I've consumed over the years. Because I wanted to understand. And I realized, man, I don't know anything. What they taught me in school most of the time was just, some of it wasn't even true. Wasn't accurate. So I wanted to learn, and I didn't just want to learn what somebody's synopsis of it was. I wanted to read what this guy actually said himself. What he actually testified. So I've spent a lot of time doing that. I didn't mean to digress, but the point I want to say is that sometimes you have to position yourself to receive. Study to show yourself approved unto God. If you like it more than whatever's shown at the box office, I promise if you like it more, it will come out of your mouth more. It will radiate out of your heart more. So we must apply ourselves to receive wisdom. The fourth biblical instruction for how to get wisdom is this. Remember your own mortality. Or to put it this way, think about the shortness of this life and the infinite length of the next. Psalm 90, Moses said this, teach me to number my days that I may present to you a heart of wisdom. There is something in that about recognizing, you know what, my life counts, it's valuable, I've only got so much time. So what I do today matters. How I choose to spend my time today matters in light of eternity. There's something about keeping that in mind that positions you to receive wisdom from the Lord, according to Moses, isn't it? Yeah. Because if we think it's just going to keep on going like it is, we're believing a deception that keeps us ignorant. And finally, the most essential thing you absolutely must do in order to receive wisdom, and this is going to seem like really obvious, but you really need to be surrendered to Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 12, as he was dealing with the rejection of some of the people who would not hear him, he said this, the queen of the south, referring to Queen of Sheba, will rise in judgment at this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and someone greater than Solomon is here right now preaching to you. See, Solomon spoke of God's wisdom, but in a real sense, Jesus is the wisdom of God. Others had spoken the truth, he is the truth. Others had pointed the way, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door. Therefore, in him, as Paul said, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It is out of our relationship and intimacy with our Savior that we have a doorway and a path right in to relationship with wisdom. Can I just say something here? You're going to say, are you going to stop me? Once again, I have the microphone. Dumb is not cool. It's not cool to be dumb. I realize that there's kind of a cultural thing. I don't know. Right? Dumb is not cool. We need in this hour men and women who are full of wisdom, who are able to access something that doesn't come from their own mind and their own resources, but comes from on high. People who know her, who know that voice of wisdom, who have met through their relationship with their Savior, this one called wisdom. Listen to her invitation. Does not wisdom cry out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights of the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates that lead into the city, at the entrances, she is crying aloud. To you, men, I cry out. I raise my voice to all of mankind. To you who are simple, gain prudence. If you're foolish, gain understanding. Listen, I have worthy things to say. I open my mouth to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true. My lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them are crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right, and they're faultless to those who have knowledge. So choose my instruction instead of silver, my knowledge rather than gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you can desire compares to her. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power, and by me kings rule, and rulers make laws that are just. By me princes govern, and nobles who rule on earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me will find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth, prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold, and my yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me, making their treasuries full. Proverbs 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. She has prepared her meat, she's mixed her wine, and she's set a table. She sent out maids who call from the highest points of the city. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Come, eat my food, drink my wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you'll live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Don't rebuke a mocker, he'll hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love you. Instruct a wise man, he'll be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. Proverbs 1. Wisdom cries aloud in the streets. She raises her voice in the public square. At the head of all the noisy streets, she is crying out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But you've rejected me when I called, and no one listened when I stretched out my hand. And since you ignored my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Listen to the voice of wisdom today. seek wisdom. In 2019, I want to speak it one more time. Seek wisdom.
Thanks for downloading and listening to the Word of the Week. I'm John Hamilton. If this helped or encouraged you, why not share this message with a friend? If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can find out more at johnhamilton.org.